Thank you for joining us in this special interview from the campus of the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. I'm Josh Johnson, Director of Communications. Today here in the studio, we have the two newest members of our faculty team. We have Dr. Jason Goodham and Dr. Jared Hilden. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First, let's more formally introduce Dr. Goodham. Just sharing a little bit of your bio here. Pastor Goodham has accepted a call, a full-time faculty position here, and began on June 1st. Pastor Goodham graduated from our Free Lutheran Bible College in 2000, and then the Free Lutheran Seminary in 2011. He earned a Doctor of Ministry degree from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri in 2021. Pastor Goodham began teaching Bible College courses as an adjunct professor in 2013. He has served Faith Free Lutheran Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota for the last many years. He's married to Esther, and together they have five children. Dr. Goodham, can you share a little bit more with us, maybe something that our listeners don't know about you yet?
It feels like I'm enough of a public figure that they probably know most of the boring, inane stuff about me. I'm a massive baseball fan. I've been a baseball fan all my life. So I go down that route. I grew up in North Dakota, in farm country in Grand Forks and south of Grand Forks. So Jared and I are both North Dakotans.
Yep.
My kids are great. My wife is great. It feels like this is much less of a transition for me than it is for Jared, since I've already been teaching here for a decade.
How do you know what it feels like for me, Jason?
I can read your face.
Wow.
I'm good like that. Remember, I used to be your pastor.
Yeah, that's a good spiritual gift you have.
Well, let's go to you, Dr. Hilden. Just again, as a more of a formal introduction here, Dr. Hilden, originally from Park River, North Dakota, graduated from the Free Lutheran Bible College in 2007, from our seminary in 2015. He earned a Doctor of Ministry degree with a concentration in New Testament exposition from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in 2022. He has served as pastor at two congregations, Scrubsrud Lutheran in Beresford and Emmanuel Free Lutheran in Centerville, South Dakota. So welcome to the studio here. And same question for you, Dr. Hilden. What do we not know about you yet that we should know as listeners here?
Well, thanks, Josh, for having me. And good job pronouncing Scrubsrud Lutheran Church. What don't you know about me? Well, a lot of people know, but if you don't know, I want you to know. My wife is a semi-famous illustrator/author. She coined the term illustrother, and so she writes children's picture books for kids. She's got eight of them published, all of them except one. She both wrote the words and drew the pictures, so check her out. She writes under her maiden name, Elise Parsley. I don't know if that's because she's embarrassed of me or we just thought Parsley would mark it better than Hilden, but it works, so I'm most proud of my wife for that. I asked her what I should share. I don't think she wanted me to share that, but she said I should tell people that I'm pretty good at catching grapes in my mouth if you throw them up in the air. Also M&Ms if I'm feeling brave, but I can really hurt my teeth if I mess up with that.
Are you inviting students to test this out in the
well,
classroom?
I'd rather they don't know that.
It seems like a real-world skill worth developing.
It is, yep. It's very, very important.
Dr. Hilden, I'll ask you here to start us off. Share a little bit about how you came to faith in Christ.
Well, by God's grace, I was baptized, and He washed away my sins and granted me the Holy Spirit. My parents continued to bring me to church and teach me the Word at home. A lot of it was just my mom and dad putting me in places where God could get a hold of me through His Holy Word. And there were times where I strayed, to be sure. I needed to be called back to repentance. There were spiritually dry seasons where I think I loved the world or I loved what other people thought of me. That was more important to me than who I am in Christ. But each time, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, sought me out through His Holy Word. And I just want to give Him all the thanks and glory for saving me and preserving me in the true faith. And I also want to say I had some really good pastors. Pastor Tim Carlson comes to mind, who taught me the difference between law and gospel and taught me to place all of my assurance in the promises of Scripture and not the commands. Although I should do the commands and seek to obey them, I shouldn't seek any of my assurance of salvation through looking at those commands, only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I just want to thank Pastor Tim Carlson for his faithful ministry to me.
Dr. Goodham, can you share a little bit of your story?
Yeah, it's similar to Jared. I was born, baptized, and raised in a Christian home. The story of how I came to salvation is a lot different than the story of how I came to assurance of salvation. I don't know that there's ever been a time I could count that I wasn't saved, but I wasn't really confident in my faith, and I didn't come to assurance of salvation until I was in seminary, in an assignment which required us to be reading through the large catechism. Came across a passage that said, even though we have sins, we do not fear them because we are in the Christian church where there's nothing but the continuous, uninterrupted forgiveness of sins. And kind of in the environments that I was growing up in, especially as a teenager and as a college student, the gospel wasn't really emphasized for Christians. The gospel was emphasized as a means of conversion, but then you got a lot of law, and that almost nearly killed my faith. That there was there's a distinct moment in time in my mid-20s where I almost made a conscious decision to walk away from the faith, and instead just said to God one last time, if you can't make me into a good Christian when I go to seminary, then I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And it was in seminary where I came to that assurance of salvation, realizing that the gospel applies not only to unbelievers, but believers really need the gospel. And that changed my entire path, my entire life.
Thank you both for sharing how God has been working in your life. And now you're here back on the campus of the Bible College and Seminary after attending here as a student. What stands out from your time studying here as a student at the Bible College and Seminary? Dr. Goodham, maybe we'll start with you.
Like the differences or the similarities? Or
Just something, yeah, something that stands out. You shared a little bit about the seminary, so maybe focus on more on the Bible College side of it.
Well, yeah, in Bible College, I mean, on the one hand, not much has changed. We still emphasize the residential program, which I think we have the most unique Bible school in the country because we don't do distance education. Everything happens on here. I mean, Jared can affirm this, but really when you go through Bible school and seminary in a residential program, that's where you meet the best friends you have in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still especially the seminary classmates I graduated are still my best friends, and you really build relationships. You learn what it's like to exist in a community of God. And I really like that. I really like that you're immersed in classes. And that, you know, we kind of make fun of it while we attend here about the bubble and not having any idea what's going on in the real world outside, but that's not a bad thing. And I think it's a really healthy way to develop confidence in your Christian faith when you're kind of isolated and insulated from other attacks. So I really love our residential program. I really love that we've, you know, even as we've, you know, over the years since I've been at Bible school, we've added accreditation and we're adding the BA program. By and large, the program is exactly the same as what I went through and what Jared went through a few years after me, is that it's focused on Bible and ministry. You learn what the Bible says, you learn how to use it for your life, and then you learn, you know, how to live that out, that faith out on a day-to-day basis.
Dr. Hillen, what stands out to you from your time here as a student?
Yeah, what comes to mind is actually a continuation of what I was talking about when I was growing up, and Pastor Carlson would teach me the difference between law and gospel, but you know what? I didn't really learn that as superbly as I should have. The opinion of the man, or the opinion of the law, dies hard. And so I remember in Galatians class with Pastor Haugen, Dr. Haugen, just studying Galatians, hearing his lectures, and one day it was studying for his final exam, and he had this study sheet for us, and I just remember being so enthralled. I was more focused on that assignment than any other assignment I'd ever been in my whole life. Not just because I was preparing to do well in the test, but because through studying for that exam, God was speaking to me. God was teaching me his word, specifically Paul's letter to the Galatians. And I was just so captured by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ that I actually was studying and I didn't want to stop. And so I skipped my I think it was Isaiah class taught by Pastor Holmes at the time. I just skipped that class because I was having so much fun studying Galatians, preparing for Pastor Haugen's class. And I just want to share that example because I think Bible College put me, God could have done that anywhere to be sure because his spirit would do that. But at Bible College, God put me in a situation where he was able to get a hold of me. through his word because I was just saturated with it. And God chose that instance to really help me to love Christ more than I had ever felt loving him before and being secure in the gospel.
That's great. Changing gear just a little bit here, and we'll stick with you, Dr. Hilden. Both of you have served in congregational ministry as pastors for many, many years now. Thinking back to those years, what did you enjoy most about being a pastor?
I enjoyed lots of things. One that comes to mind is when I'm teaching confirmation class, and probably after about 2 months of instruction, maybe three, the students finally become comfortable, where they can begin answering questions and speaking freely and saying what's on their mind. And I feel like, you know, gaining trust with them, relational trust, not only with me, but also with each other as students, that's, I think, when the learning really, really begins. And we really have a good time together. So I hope to get over that similar hump with my students at Bible college and seminary as well.
Well, maybe you can pull out the whole catch the grapes in your mouth thing. And
there you go.
that might help. Dr. Goodham, Pastor Goodham, what stands out from your years in congregational ministry? What did you enjoy most as you lived out that vocation?
I think hands down, my favorite thing about congregational ministry was visitation, especially visiting with our elderly members. It's very rare in any other life situation that you have access to that demographic. I mean, we all, you know, if you grew up knowing your grandparents, that's one thing. But the people who have walked the faith for all those decades have so much wisdom and so much encouragement. And I watch the way they're learning to live out their faith now as their bodies are failing them and, you know, as they're declining in health or whatever. And it always just shamed me a little bit of how rock solid they were in their faith. And I never went to one of those in-home visitations or hospital visitations where I didn't learn something about how I should be acting in the faith. And I know I'm going to miss that. I crave those times to sit down, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours just in conversation with, you know, someone who's been there before and, kind of that been there, done that sort of thing, but just has so much more patience and wisdom than I do.
I don't know if you remember, I enjoyed coming alongside and you took me on one of those visits when I was going through seminary training. I can't remember the name of the lady
Arlene.
We visited. It was probably Arlene. And yeah, just what a joy to see her living out her faith. Such an example. And yeah, a little bit different setting here where most of our students on the campus here are young adults right out of high school, but can certainly benefit from listening to that generation. And I'm not calling you guys old.
I am. I might not be old, but I'm high mileage.
There we go. But yeah, what a blessing it is as pastors to have that opportunity. And that's partly what we do here is we try to introduce students to that type of congregational ministry. And I think of the nursing home team that we've had in previous years, students visiting elderly as well. So thanks for sharing. Anything else? I'll open that one up more broadly here because that's such an emphasis here that we want our students to be learning from men who have served as pastors in congregations as far as who we call for full-time faculty typically. Anything else from pastoral ministry that stands out that you might be bringing to the classroom that would help inform your teaching?
I mean, almost to a person, I guess, Jared, you can agree or disagree with this, but everything is pastoring. It's like you, after a while, you're just wired to pastor. So it's not like we're going to stop being pastors just because we don't have congregations anymore in that way. It's going to happen a different way. You know, we're going to miss regular preaching and that, you know, the cycle and the routine of the week that pastors fall into is going to be different. But the caring for souls and, you know, kind of guiding them through life's troubles I imagine it's still going to be very much the same with, you know, just a different camera angle.
Yeah, I agree, Jason. One thing that comes to mind that I really appreciated about ministry is when some members of our church came from other churches and they would all say similar things. Pastor Jared, we just love how you teach the word, and we love that you just, every Sunday we come, we're going to hear the word. And I got the impression, or they would tell me, they weren't getting that at their previous church. They were getting messages that pastors delivered, and they would read the Bible passage, but what they were hearing at Skrefsrud and Emmanuel was just going verse by verse, teaching God's word and showing how it, you know, is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that's the only way I know how to do it. I wouldn't know what else to say. I mean, the Bible is, that's the message. And I just take it for granted. I grew up in the AFLC. I went to our college and seminary. That's the only way I know how to preach and teach. And sometimes I forget how awesome that is until someone from the outside comes in and says, we have been missing this. And now that we have it, we never want to go anywhere else. So I hope to do more of the same with that.
Dr. Hilden, what classes will you be teaching this school year ahead?
Yeah, sure. They asked me to teach captivity epistles in both the seminary and the Bible college, so I'm thankful for that overlap. For those who don't know, it's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon.
I'm glad you didn't quiz me on that.
Yeah, no worries. I had to look it up myself. So, and then also in the Bible college, an elective Revelation, and then also Greek 1 in the Bible college. I think they've taught Greek in the Bible college before, I know, but this is maybe their first time doing it as a 3-credit or bigger course throughout the whole year. And the hope is that some of these students will continue on in seminary and have that background.
Why is the study of the original language important?
Well, we believe that God inspired the biblical authors to write the Bible. And in the Old Testament, they use Hebrew and sometimes Aramaic, but in the New Testament, they always use Greek. And I think if we believe that God inspired those words to be written in the original manuscripts, that we should try to understand those words and to know those words, especially if we're going to teach them to other people. I think you'd want your mechanic to know not just how to change the oil and replace the fluids, but for a good mechanic, you'd want one who knows how maybe to take apart the whole engine and put it back together if he had to, right? That's what I would want in a mechanic. And I think when people go to a church, they should find a pastor who really knows, you know, the ins and outs of the Bible, or can even read it in the original languages. And that's my goal. That's what I hope to pass on to our students.
And let me just dive even deeper into that subject as you think about training pastors as well, because our Bible college students who are pursuing pastoral ministries often go on to our seminary, where they continue to dig into these original languages, including Hebrew at that point. Just thinking very practically, what does it look like for a pastor to be effectively using their study of Greek in their pastoral ministry?
Yeah, well, I think there's lots of opportunity to teach Bible studies and also preach sermons. And if they happen to be in the New Testament, their Greek New Testament should be on their desk. Should probably work on that, first of all. Even if it's frustrating, just try to get through that. And then go look at the commentaries afterwards. But I think that should just be a weekly habit, and you can even use it in your personal devotions too.
That's good. Dr. Goodham, what classes will you be teaching this year?
I think Dr. Molstry has called me his utility infielder. I'm kind of, if I had a specialty in practical theology, for the fall, I'm teaching a systematics class, Means of Grace and Eschatology, where in the Bible college, we're splitting a bunch of our required classes just to keep class size down. So I will be, Dr. Munfrum will be teaching exactly the same thing I will, but to a different group of students. So I've got that. I will be teaching in the same way with Pastor Osier, Intro to Christian Thought in the Bible college. And then I have an elective Christian Education, which was kind of what my doctorate was on. And those are my Bible college classes. In the seminary, I'll be teaching pastoral counseling.
It's a good list. How's it been going so far with course prep? I'm sure there's some things that you can pull from previous study here, but what does that process look like over the summer?
Right now, I'm doing heavy prep on pastoral counseling because I haven't taught that one before. The two split classes I have, I just need to connect with the other instructors and kind of agree on an outline and things. And yeah, so it's a lot of reading and a lot of writing, and then hopefully it all has some sort of organization before mid-August.
I wanted to ask and start with you, Dr. Goodham. Is there anything unique about your teaching style that students coming in will notice or should be aware of?
Well, I don't like using tech in the classroom. It would be my preference to have a chalkboard or especially a whiteboard, since chalk makes your hands feel all dry and gross. But my areas of focus, I'm going to be doing a lot of teaching in apologetics and like Christian thought and things. And so what I focus on is teaching students how to think. And rather than just giving them the right answers, I want them to be processing. And so my classes focus a lot on interaction and on processing and on developing your own answers to a set of material. And so my classes always end up being participation heavy. It's very little lecture and a lot more interaction.
I suppose having those smaller sections helps. That
will help
with that.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to do in like a 50, 60 person classroom.
Dr. Hilden, how about you? What would you say is unique about your teaching style?
Well, maybe ask me in a couple years, Josh. I need to figure it out. But as in the congregation, preaching and teaching, I really just do focus on what the Bible says. And I think what I want to get away from is sometimes a lot of preachers just have this like, oh, whatever sticks out to me mentality. And that's what they share from the Bible. And oftentimes, hey, if that's what's in God's word and that's what you're really excited about, you know, praise be to God if you can share that. But there's also, and I learned this in seminary and then also in my doctorate, there's ways of reading the scripture where we can actually find out what was the main point of the biblical author. What stuck out to Moses as he was writing this passage, or what stuck out to Paul or Matthew? Like, what were they trying to emphasize as the main point? And there's different ways of studying God's word to find that main point and then find what are the supporting points. And so that's what I try to teach on. That's what I try to harp on. I try to help people understand the Bible in its original context. And as I'm shifting gears now from pastoral ministry to teaching at the Bible College and Seminary, I think in preaching sermons, I would be happy if people understood the content of the Bible passage really well. And obviously, Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins. But now that I'm going to Bible college, I'm going to spend more time equipping them on how they might be able to study God's word and see all those moves that I might be making without telling the people in the congregation, to show them how they in turn can go and teach others the Bible as well. And so practically speaking, that probably means I won't get through all of the content of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, but I'll have to be satisfied with taking smaller chunks and teaching them how to find Paul's main point in these passages.
I remember that's always the challenge with our exegetical classes. I mean, and I think of Dr. Brentel saying teaching through the Pentateuch.
Right.
You got to be a little bit selective, but I love that. Yeah. With our exegetical courses, we do run over several classes and credits, basically from Genesis to Revelation, and we do go in depth at the same time. So, that will be a challenge. And,
right.
A couple years down the road, we'll do this interview again.
I'm going for most improved teacher in about 3 years.
Set the bar real low at the start.
There you go. Only go up I from curb there. Your enthusiasm.
All right. So the two of you have known each other, have interacted with each other before starting here now this summer. Dr. Hilden, you attended the congregation at Faith Free Lutheran where Pastor Goodham was the pastor while you were in seminary. Is that right?
Yeah, when I was in seminary, Lisa and I went to Faith Free Lutheran. We really appreciated Pastor Goodham's preaching and the people of faith.
So what is it going to be like working together now in this setting? Silence.
I think we've become good friends. We can just joke around and banter, and it's kind of, work can be stressful. So sometimes it's just good to shoot Dr. Jason a text and joke around with something about him, or just maybe go for a walk around the peanut. So I just appreciate the fellowship.
Yeah. It's really nice to work with people you're friends with. And, I think Jared and I both are pretty good friends with all the faculty here. It makes it for a lot less of an adjustment coming in. Jared's a very earnest person. I really appreciate his feedback. He's also really funny. It keeps me on my toes. So it's going to be nice to be entering into this job with him. So I don't feel like I'm kind of feeling around blind and things. And I'll always know that there's someone even fresher than I am who's starting at the same time.
Last question this morning, here as we sit in the studio. What do you hope the students take away from your classes? Dr. Hilden, why don't we start with you?
Sure. A great love for God's word, not in and of itself, but because God's word is the means by which we know God and we come to have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And then having said that, just an excitement to get up and go, you know, and to live your vocations, to serve your neighbors, to serve the Lord. And I hope that it's just not purely an academic exercise, but just really just a means to be the people that God has created us and then recreated us in Christ to be, so that we might walk in those good works he's called us to do.
Dr. Goodham, how about you? What do you hope for the students in your classes?
I hope by the time they're done with my classes, they have an understanding that all theology, all doctrine is relevant for the Christian life, that it's not an academic exercise, but that all doctrine is the truth from God's word summarized, and therefore it must be applicable to the Christian life. And it's my job to show students what that means and how to use it for their comfort and for their growth in the faith.
Well, thank you both for joining us here for this interview. God bless you as you continue to prepare for the fall semester. We're just so excited to have you both, and I look forward to seeing how you continue to invest in the lives of students, faithfully answering this call to teach them the Word of God and to share your love for the congregation. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Josh.
And we invite our listeners to learn more about the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary. You can visit our website, flbc.edu. And as always, we invite you to start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.